Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of More Than Sweat. I'm your host, Brooke Benton, and this is our final episode of Season 2. I've titled it Becoming Sturdy. I know what it feels like to be sturdy because I've known what it felt like to be fragile, and I grew. I grew into the sturdy woman who can hold up herself, hold up her children, hold up her husband, and hold up you. I am here for you. Your trauma doesn't scare me. This podcast is called More Than Sweat because I'm here for you way more than just a workout, way more than just a sweat session, for the real deal. Today, I'm going to tell you about my journey to becoming sturdy, and along the way, maybe you'll find yourself. The word sturdy and some of the inspiration for today's episode come from a recent Huberman Lab podcast where Dr. Andrew Huberman interviewed Dr. Becky Kennedy from Good Inside. Dr. Becky Kennedy's work really focuses on deeply feeling kids, and it teaches us how to feel stable even when emotions run the gamut. You know what? That doesn't just apply to parents or children. It is the human condition. I highly recommend that you check out that show that's in the show notes. I linked it. Dr. Becky Kennedy's work is just brilliant, and I really feel like it's changing the world for humans, not just for children and parents, but for humans. And one word that she used repeatedly at the beginning of that podcast was sturdy. It's one word, but it represents so much, growth being the major thing. If you have survived trauma, you're not just going to be sturdy right off the bat. You are going to be broken. You may even develop an autoimmune disease. For instance, lupus has been described as sadness of the body. You've read Chapter 5 of Sweat with Brooke Benton. You know about my trauma, but I'd never heard it described the way that Dr. Huberman did in this podcast. He had been at a seminar where he heard a psychiatrist say that at its core, trauma is really about confusion over who's responsible. Whew, my ear pods about fell out of my ears. Yes, on the nose. Confusion over who's responsible. That is trauma. That will break you. When I was broken, I turned to a lot of avoidance tactics before finally growing into the sturdy woman that you're hearing on this podcast right now. One of those avoidance tactics was running. I've loved running my entire life. I was terrible at sports as a kid, but I would run and continue to run all through college, continued to run as a young adult. And then I started running a ton when there were feelings I didn't want to have to feel, and I could circumnavigate around them by just running a lot. Well, in a half marathon in February 2021, I got a really bad injury. It's called proximal hamstring tendinopathy. And basically, it is a pain in the butt. Right where your hamstrings attach to the bone, it feels like pins and needles, and it stops you dead in your tracks. So that took running off the table for me. I wanted to run, but I would try, and this injury would stop me dead in my tracks, and I would jab my fingers right into the injury and be like, you dirty rat, this is the one thing I have that is keeping me sane, and I'm losing it, the one thing that I just love to do. And really, that injury was a blessing. It was a blessing because it forced me to stop literally running away from my problems and actually have to cognitively recognize them. Also, my daughter, I'm sorry to say this, but she was my emotional support animal. My daughter came out of the womb just happy to be alive, and she's 7 years old and still just the happiest person you have ever met, never had a bad day. And so that energy, if you're dealing with trauma, you want to gravitate towards it. And so I stuck myself to my daughter like glue. She is the child. She should not be responsible for her mother's well-being. She needs to know that I am sturdy enough to have her. She can lean on me and not the other way around. But when I was broken, it was role reversal. I was leaning heavily on my daughter. So when she started kindergarten, and I mean, I had a chokehold death grip on her wrist, not wanting to let her go. If I could have registered myself for kindergarten all over again, I would have. But she needed it. She was ready to walk right across that street and wave goodbye and go socialize and learn new things. She was so ready for it. And I was so not ready for it. In the podcast that I linked in the show notes, Dr. Becky Kennedy talks about how parents really do realize true loss when our children either start school or they start driving and they're not home as much or they go off to college. Parents need to acknowledge that there is a real loss there. And I felt it. I felt it when I couldn't run away from my problems with the run. I tried, but I couldn't run. I would stop and be crying on the sidewalk as the injury just was so flared up and so debilitating. And I missed my daughter terribly. I missed both of my children being with me. And so I would start drinking early. I would put Chardonnay in a coffee cup as another avoidance tactic. So if I didn't have my running and I didn't have my children with me, I just started drinking wine and I hit it really well. I was able to teach group fitness classes and personal train and make workout videos and show up at kid pickup. And you wouldn't have known that I wasn't 100% there, but I wasn't. I was floating. I was levitating. I had offshored my life to something as banal as alcohol. You guys, we are not here for very long. Blink and you miss it. We never know when our last day is going to be. We need to be 100% present living our life. Alcohol was taking that away from me. And you know how they say you hit a rock bottom? I was kind of there. I would call it there. I didn't stay there. I was broken. You may be broken right now. And I hope you're hearing these words that I didn't stay there and you don't have to either. You're like, so how did you change? Well, it wasn't instantly. I wish I could tell you that you can go from being broken to then sturdy. Boom. In the next day, a 24-hour fix. It's going to take a lot longer than that. And it's going to take a ton of effort and a ton of want to from you. For me, the very first domino that I set up straight was making my bed. If you make up your bed in the morning, even if the rest of the day goes wrong, at the end of the day, you get into a made bed that you made as a gift to yourself, and that's something. Then I started planning my meals and my snacks and planning lists for when I would go to the grocery store of what I was going to get. So then I had a plan of what nourishment I was going to be putting in my body, prioritizing fiber and protein. Then after these dominoes are stacked, I had to start thinking about, is alcohol helping me or hurting me? It was hurting me. It was preventing me from being present in my life. It wasn't making my problems any better. It was actually just bringing them back later with a hangover. It was interrupting my sleep because I would go to sleep and then I'd wake up strung out with anxiety and depression and these racing thoughts. And it was horrible. It was hell waking up like that because of the aftermath of drinking too much. I can't even experience real joy in my life with alcohol because it numbs it. It takes it away. It makes me not 100% present because alcohol is levitating me off to something else. And it's actually not levitating. Alcohol is a depressant. Either way, it's taking me away from clear and present 100% Brooke Benton's life. So I wanted my life back. I decided I didn't need to drink less alcohol. I needed to drink no alcohol. I needed to eliminate alcohol completely. I will promise you this, nothing has been more transformative in becoming sturdy than taking alcohol completely out of my life. It has been the most transitional thing from being broken to being sturdy is not drinking alcohol. There I got three dominoes set up, making my bed, eating the right things, taking alcohol away. I started drinking more water instead, which has been great for my skin and great for my energy. I started doing exercises that didn't bother my hamstring. So yes, running was still a real bad trigger for my PHT, but I could do other things like the step mill and high intensity interval training and starting to do more strength training that didn't bother my PHT. And I felt successful there. I wasn't over exercising. I wasn't using exercise as a way around feeling my feelings. I was feeling my feelings, but also embracing the goodness of exercise. And so I found ways that I could be physically fit without hurting myself and making an injury worse than it already was. I also started going to bed earlier. You know how they say nothing good happens after midnight? Nothing good happens after 10 o'clock at night. I was going to bed earlier so that then not only was I getting more quality sleep, since alcohol wasn't waking me up with horrible anxiety in the middle of the night, I was also getting more quantity of sleep, more hours of good rest, which changes so much with your stress levels, changes so much when you're getting quality sleep. So all of these dominoes that were stacking up, I started losing weight because, yeah, I had put on some weight with less activity and so much alcohol. And of course, then I was making poor nutrition decisions. All of that is just avoidance, avoidance, avoidance. And I was approaching that, yeah, trauma has happened in the past and it's there. It's there. It's done. Close the door. Be present. Don't fear the future, but be here, right now. Hold your family. Be sturdy for your children. Be sturdy for your husband. He was so concerned about me for so long, and he would just hold me in the mornings as if I was so fragile I could break at any moment. And now he knows he can go and take care of his own health and his own wellness, and he can tell me about what's bothering him with his work or life or whatever's going on with him, and know that I can handle it. With my children, I kiss them goodnight and sing two verses of goodnight, sweetheart, and they know that I am here and I am sturdy and stable, and I'm the mom. They can lean on me. All of this happened by stacking one domino up after another domino, that now I have not had a drink of alcohol in well over a year. I am sturdy, and if it happened for me, it can happen for you too. I am here for you, and you can contact me through this podcast or through my email, through my website, brookbitten.com, and we're going to get through this. I'm going to help you see the other side, and it is beautiful, but you're never going to recognize that if you're offshoring your emotions to anything other than being 100% present. What happened doesn't define you. You had trauma, whether it was little t trauma, like the dissolve of a friendship, or big T trauma, like sexual trauma. It happened, and you can be sturdy. You can be sturdy again. I promise you. That is about all I have to say for today's episode. It was a lot. It was a mouthful. And I hope it gives you something to think about as our final episode concludes of season 2. I've thoroughly enjoyed walking and talking with you in the 10 episodes in season 2 and 13 episodes in season 1 of More Than Sweat. I will look forward to joining you again for another walk and talk when season 3 commences in the fall. I'm Brooke Benton, and I'll see you next time.